Buongiorno, everybody. It's EC Radio. That music means only one thing. My favorite Italian, next to my mom, is on the horn with us right now. Mike the Vice coming in with his blazing four today. Mr. Vice, how you doing, bud?
Hey, what's going on, G? It's, the blazing four big dog shit lately. I hope nobody's got a couple of fucking Guidos after them to break their legs. But the good news is the Vice is ready today, and he feels great.
Yeah, you're feeling good?
I just feel bad if anybody the last couple of weeks got somebody looking to break their fucking legs. But just tell them, give me another week. The Vice said, give me another week.
Give him another week. And hopefully you can actually come back, because last week you didn't do too hot. Last week the bookie put your head in the Vice.
Oh yeah,
that's right. But you know what? Like the Vice said, let tell the bookie lay off. Give me another week. You got a couple good plays this week, and give me a couple days to make a little move or something.
You're gonna make a little move, huh?
But the Vice, woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. But like we were talking about off the air, I don't know if anybody listening ever had a warm pasta chalk in their life. Man, what a fuck. I mean, it completely turned the Vice's day around.
Yeah, one warm pusty will turn your day around. I love it. What kind of pusty was it, chocolate or vanilla?
Well, I'm a vanilla guy. You know what? Am I a mayonnaise face? Going to eat something fake? I eat a fucking vanilla pusty chalk like your Vice is supposed to do. But I've never had a warm one. I mean, it was like I was telling you off the air. It was like having sex for the first time. It was unbelievable. I mean, I ended up eating three of them. They were so hot they were burning the Vice's hands.
So now you're a clean 245 after that.
No, the Vice has been watching. His picks aren't the only thing losing. The Vice looks great lately.
Yeah, you're shedding some weight, guy.
But I'll tell you what, the only thing hotter than that pusty, the Vice is blazing for this week.
Oh, yeah.
Man, see, I feel good. I know I tell you every week I feel good. But the Vice feel, ever since them pusties, it's like I'm like a phoenix rising from the fucking ashes.
It sounds like to me you don't even want to recap last week.
Well, we can go over it a little bit. I mean, the Vice, I gave you a good one in Arizona. You know what I mean? A nice game. That was a laugher. The other ones, Atlanta was up 17-0 at half. The Vice was already spending the fucking money. I thought that was a surefire winner. I looked up after a nice sandwich, and it was 2017, the Dolphins. That's going to happen, but, it hurt. 17-0, what the fuck kind of game is that? The game was over.
Yeah, and Miami stinks, too. We said that last week. Miami stinks.
I don't understand. How are you up 17-0 and you can't, even hold on to get a W? Maybe that Super Bowl hangover is a real fucking thing.
It is a real thing.
Where's that sidekick ears? I don't hear that fucking chicken in his dog shit show.
He told me not to talk. He said you're in a bad mood.
Oh, no, I'm all right, chicken. Ever since that bus, these things turned around.
Nothing better than
forgot. Me and chicken made up last week, didn't we?
Yes, and there's nothing better than putting a hot pussy in your mouth.
I apologize, chicken. I forgot we made up. What a great show. Everybody tune in tonight to Chicken Show.
And you're going to come on sometime, right? You're going to come on
when... Oh, yeah. The writer. I'm the Vice is a man in demand.
Hot pusties, right?
Yeah, you got it.
You ever have Dick and Cider?
You got it. Now, the only thing I don't like about it with you today, Z, is a guy like you doesn't go the whole day without eating something. Every time I call, you got a cup of coffee, something in your fucking mouth. I asked you today what you ate today, and you said just a little bowl of cereal. The Vice ain't buying that bullshit.
I'm serious. I haven't eaten anything today. I need to go home and eat, too.
Listen, a mauler like you doesn't go. It's almost 4:30 in the afternoon. A guy who mauls like you can't go out there. You must be dead chicken. You better give that guy mouth to mouth. He's ready to go down.
No, thank you.
I got a drumstick for him.
Yeah, so, all right, let's skip last week. We talked a little bit about it, but let's go into this week. What do you got for us this week, Vice?
I got the one thing about the Vice, See, is the vice, don't forget where he came from. If you're good to the vice one week, the vice will come right fucking back to you. So we're going to start off in Berkeley, California. I told you last week about the Arizona Wildcats. There you got a new hotshot quarterback, Kahari Tate, set a Division I record for rushing 2 weeks ago and just kept rushing all last week, ran all over UCLA. This week, Cal's coming off a big win over Washington State. But you know what the vice says? Here comes the Wildcats. Take Arizona minus a point and a half.
Arizona, okay.
I'm sorry, who were they?
You know, again? Like I said, this it was a strange line. It started off California, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, betting, you know, on them after that big win over Washington State. They started off as a three-point favorite. Right now, the most current odds I saw Arizona, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 points. But it doesn't fucking matter. Arizona in a laugher, 45-17 over Cal. 45, I told you the 17. Vice feels good about that one.
That's okay. That's not the five-star lock, though, right?
No. But the next one is my stone cold lock of the week. How about them Syracuse Orange men? Clemson came into the Carrier Dome. We slapped them right around and sent them right back to Clemson, South Carolina. Is there anybody hotter right now than Dino Babers?
You know, he's getting some national attention out there, that's for sure. Yeah.
Oh, how about them speeches? I want to run through a fucking wall for the guy. I mean, I've never been so fired up. I mean, the guy gets me so fired up, I can't wait to call my bookie and put action in. That's the kind of guy fucking Dino Babers is.
Is Dino giving you some tips? What's he, like your Pete Rose?
I went up to my boss at the hotel last week. I said, boss, would it be frowned upon if I went up to Dino Babers and asked if they were going to cover tonight? He just gave me a little dirty look and kept walking.
So,
but this is my stone cold lock of the day. Miami is awfully beat up. They lost their running back, Mark Walton. They're primed for an upset. They hung on 2 weeks in a row. Miami should have lost the last 2 weeks. If you remember, the vice told you about them 2 weeks ago against Florida State. They got a late miracle touchdown to win. Something similar happened last week against Georgia Tech. Drove down late in the game to get a late field goal to beat Georgia Tech at the gun. Not this week. Syracuse, for some reason, is getting 17 points. Why can't the Orange get any respect, see?
I don't know. No love for the Orange.
17 points.
No love for the Orange.
So that's going to be our stone cold lock of the day. A young vice was about 12 years old. Little chubby guy. His old man took him to the Orange Bowl. All excited to watch my beloved Orange to take out the Miami Hurricanes. 2.5 hours later was 49-0 Hurricanes. A little vice never forgot that feeling he got. I was walking out of the Orange Bowl with my nice jersey on. People calling me a little fat ass. That sucked with the vice. So the vice, 20 fucking years later, is going to get some revenge. I'm going to lay it big on the Orange plus 17 this Saturday. The Orange lose the game, but it's awful close. 28-27 Miami, but a laugher when it comes to the odds. We'll take that plus 17, and we'll take it right to the bank. Like I said, tell your bookie after the last couple weeks, the vice is coming hot this week.
Put a couple boxes of ZD on it.
You bet your ass. I told you it was a sad memory. I walked out of the stadium in tears. I had a little chubby little bastard. I had a little puff in the back of my head. I had a beloved Syracuse jersey on with a little too tight on me. We already lost 49-0. They had to kick a guy when he's down, call a young man some names. I'll never forget it, and the fight is getting his revenge.
Let's get some revenge this weekend. They're playing in Miami, right? Is that correct?
Yes, it's the first time since 2003 the Orange will go to Miami. Listen, if you got some fucking coolies, if you got some bugweezies, maybe you even bet Syracuse on a money line. It's a very tough play. A lot of places won't take a money line pick that's getting more than 10 points. But if you find a bookie that'll take that bet, I wouldn't be surprised if the Orange pulled off the W.
Yeah. And if you do take that money line, you're going to win a couple boxes of ZD, that's for sure.
Oh, see, you know what? Last week, if you would have put $100 on Syracuse, the money line at Clemson, you would have had 16 boxes of ZD waiting at your fucking front door. Imagine that, 1,600 for one beaner.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I said, D, you tell your bookie the Vice might have been a little off last week, but this week he's coming for your fucking head.
All right, that a boy.
So now let's go on to Sunday. You know, Sunday, a lot of games didn't really perk the Vice's interest until I went down my list and saw a game with the Denver Broncos playing a AFC West rival, the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, Denver, as you remember last Monday night, really got it taken to the woodshed by the New York Giants. Was a laugher. I think Denver cleans up their wounds, goes to L.A., and pulls out a divisional win. It's a pick 'em in most spots right now. I like Denver in a defensive battle. 17-13.
I like that pick.
All right.
You know, I'm not sold on San Diego, whoever the fuck you want to call the Super Chargers. I just feel like Denver is, you know, a better team than when they showed last week. They licked their wounds, come ready to play. They certainly know each other well. They've been division rivals for years. I like Denver, the team with the better defense, to pull that one out, 17-13. And for my last one, like I said earlier, Vice, the Vice is the kind of guy, if you treat him good once, he'll come back. The L.A. Rams have been good to the Vice this year. One of my only wins last week when they went into Jacksonville and put a woodshed beating on them. I like them again. Arizona jumped all over Tampa Bay 31-0 last week. And before you knew it, it ended up being a one-touchdown game. So I just really think Arizona had a great first half and was kind of a fugazi that game. But I like the L.A. Rams to really give it to Arizona, 28-17. Right now, the latest odds are the Rams favored by 3.
All right. So let's recap these picks now. Let's recap the picks. You got Cuse, of course. I'm not going to forget that
one. Okay, the Cuse is my the Vice Stone Cold lock of the game, getting 17 against Miami. I also like them Arizona Wildcats to run all over the Cal Berkeley Bears in a laugher, 45-17, I think is what I like. Then on Sunday, after you're up a couple of boxes of ZD, let's let it fucking ride with the Denver Broncos right now with a pick. And the L.A. Rams, -3 over the Arizona Cardinals. Gee, I feel good about my picks. Chicken, what do you think?
So far, so good. I kind of think I like the Cards over the Rams, though. Only because
you know what,
of that.
Chicken, go fuck yourself. Turn this mic off again.
I'm just saying they got that little-known running back, Adrian Peterson, now. You know?
Yeah, he looked good last week. I just feel like the Rams are a team of destiny for the Vice. When somebody's good to the Vice, I'll keep running back. Now, Z, let me ask you, how about them New York Yankees?
That a boy,
you
buddy.
You got to be in heaven, Z.
Well, not yet. There's still, you know, another game to play. But, you know, hopefully they can pull it out in 6. I'd rather see them pull it out in 6 than go 7. You know,
I think, you know, the game tonight, you know what I mean? I just feel like they got all the momentum. What are they at home, 6-0 now?
Yeah, they're 6-0 at home. And you know what? The good thing is no pressure on them at all. The pressure's all on Houston right now. And you know,
absolutely.
They proved that, like, the front half of that rotation of Houston's really dominant, but they got to Keuchel good last night. But their rotation, as far as their bullpen goes and their reliever, Giles sucks. They're, you know, when they get into their bullpen, they can kick the shit out of those guys. So hopefully they can hit they can bring those bats to Houston this weekend.
Well, the Vice was talking to, you know, a couple buddies today at work, and it seems like right now the Yanks are really in Houston's fucking head. You know, if they, you know, Tanaka was dealing, CC was dealing, the bullpen's dealing. We really were talking about the Dodgers, how dominant their bullpen has been. Yeah. You know, that gets in these guys' heads. You know what I mean? If you don't think you can get to a starter in the first 5-6 innings, you know, you almost feel like the game's over.
Yeah, you know, with that. Don't get me started about the whole pitch count and all that stuff, too, because that shit drives me crazy. I think Tanaka should have won another inning.
What happened to a guy who threw 200 pitches and went into his fucking arm fall? Damn it, the Vice is that guy.
Yeah, right. The guys like Sandy Koufax and Tom Seaver and Whitey Ford, those guys pitched to their arms fell off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the Vikings got to run today, you know what I mean? But I love my Pixie. You know, next time, next week when I call in, we might have a little surprise for the guest and have a date locked down for the Vikings to be in studio.
Yeah, nice. I would love that. Yes, we got to do that.
Mean?
Yes, yes, we got to work on that. And
also, you know,
and you have to send me your rider. I got to make sure I get tomato pie, pusties, greens, and chicken riggies.
And hookers.
and like we talked about before the air when I was driving that girl from that band around, maybe we can get somewhere the chicken can't fucking even look the Vice in the eyes. You know, maybe he looks backwards, you know, something like that. You know, he looks the other way. Because the Vice is a man in demand. I don't want a guy like chicken rubbing off on me. I want us to fucking get them bookies this week.
Yeah, let's get them. Let's put their heads in a fucking vice today.
All right, boys. It's been real. I'll talk to you next week. The vice out.
When the moon hits your eye, yeah, that's our favorite Italian. Our favorite guinea right there. How you feeling about his picks?
I like them. I like the Denver over the Chargers. SU, I mean, they're getting plus, you know, 17. So, you know, I actually think SU might be able to pull it off. I mean, I think they ride high on that win from last week. You know, I think it's a belief thing.
Yeah.
You know, so
you gotta believe, baby.
I think they might actually try going for the win. I think they might actually win that. I know he picked them to lose, but a close one, but I like that pick.
Yeah.
I do.
But if you take them on the money line, you can actually make a lot of money. What did he say, $1,600 if you put up $100 last week?
That was crazy.
For them beating Clemson?
And the Rams cards, I mean, I think I like the cards in that one.
Yeah.
Because Adrian Peterson, he's running strong, and it gives Carson Palmer some time to throw. You know what I mean? It's an element that they were missing. I mean, they got some, you know, two Hall of Famers in that team right now between Fitzgerald and Adrian Peterson. And those guys are still balling.
AP Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah? Absolutely.
Really?
First round.
Caleb, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. Lock. Easy. First round. First ballot.
Easy.
You could even go Carson Palmer, potentially.
Palmer,
could be a fringe guy. He could be
a fringe guy. Never been to, you know, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. Never really did much in the postseason. Yeah, but AP was the entire team. And they went into the postseason. I mean,
didn't he set the record for most rushing yards in the season, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got that going for him, I guess, right?
I guess that's an accolade, I guess.
We'll give him that one.
Well, that was after surgery, right? Like, didn't he do over 2,000 yards?
I feel like he's always been hurt.
Yeah.
But after surgery, posted, like, 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
I will tell you, Arizona U sucks. That game is shit. That Arizona Berkeley game. And I hope he's still listening because that game is shit.
Uh-oh. Now you got a new enemy, Vice. He'll call right back. He'll call right back. Watch out. Caleb's joining us, a new member of Disruption Networks. He is a new member of the team. I want to welcome you aboard. Welcome
Thanks,
to EC
Z.
Radio.
Thank you,
welcome to Disruption Networks. And he's your co-host, one of your co-hosts on the D-line that you can find here on the D tonight. Starting at 6 o'clock. I was even saying, because I got to cut out of here a little early. You guys could just keep going if you want. It's up to you. But
sure. It's
completely up to you. But Caleb's here. Caleb now has a very interesting job. We could talk about your job a little bit, right?
We can't. Just no mention of who I'm employed by.
Okay. The male stripper, right?
that one. Yeah. But we can mention that I do bartend at O'Donnell's. That's my that's my main source of income. That's on Barrack Street.
See,
715 Barrack.
That I wouldn't.
715 Barrack Street.
I wouldn't admit that.
Yeah.
No, but you actually have a cool job. You're a talent scout.
I am. I've been through three drafts with the current team that I work for. I cover New York, New Jersey. Jersey and PA.
So it's it's not really the Tri-County because it's not Connecticut.
Yeah.
Tri-State.
Connecticut sucks. Not much goes on there.
Really?
A lot of casinos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good casinos down there.
There's a lot of talent in the area, though,
there
right?
Because
I feel
there
like a lot of kids come from, like, New Jersey. Like, look at Todd Frazier, Mike Trout, those guys. Yeah. They all come from New Jersey. So you're down in Jersey doing scouting as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I go all the way as far south as is basically the Delaware line. I actually was about 2 miles from it this year, seeing a kid saw a kid pitch this year down there. But basically, you know, my job is from February to June. I'm on the grind day to day, whether it's computer, talking to guys on the phone. I mean, you want to know what makes a guy tick.
Right.
That's what we do. I mean, when you're talking about making an investment of millions, you know, even $1,000, you know, when you give to a senior sign type draft pick, you know, you want to know everything about a guy.
Yeah.
You know, we have it. This is what we say in the organization, and there's two ways to blow it. All right, and one is on the field, and the other's up your nose. So we've had many guys take the latter route. This have gotten big contracts, and they take that, and they just they fuck off with it basically. Yeah. So that's basically my job is to do that. So I like to think I know a lot about baseball. I mean, I'll tell you this: if you'd asked me a month ago if the Yankees would still be playing baseball, I would say no, not a chance in hell that they would still be playing. But I'll tell you, you watch these games in New York the past few nights.
Oh, it's been unbelievable.
Is it not the old New York? The old stadium? Girardi asked for it too, the beer throwing. You know, that's the shit. That was the old Yankee Stadium. That was the Yankee Stadium I grew up on. You know, I mean, my 1992 born year, by the way.
Well, it does remind me of 96.
Exactly. Yeah.
It does remind me of 96. There's some good veteran leaders on there as well. Like Gardner and like Holiday, who hasn't been playing much at all, but yeah. Headley, like these old. You know, veteran leaders are kind of leading the way, but then there's these young youth talent coming in, such as a Judge who, you know, has very similar, not stats, but kind of reminds everybody of Derek Jeter in his rookie year in 96. And then you got Sanchez, who kind of reminds me of a little bit of Bernie and a little bit of Paul O'Neill, a little bit like that. So they're starting to build a core four. And this was the year that they're supposed to rebuild, in a rebuilding year. But guess what? And I heard Brian Cashman say this the other day. Tomorrow's never promised.
No.
It's not. So let's go out and try to get it done now. And the momentum is just swinging in their way.
Yeah, exactly. And if you saw this pitching staff, too, when you sit there and you look at it on paper, you know, you touched on it earlier, you know, against Keuchel and Verlander. But you look at this pitching staff and you go top to bottom from spring training who the starting pitchers were going to be. And there's no way this team wins 85 games.
Right.
I thought. I mean, I thought the over-under would be about 85 and I was going to go under on this team this year. And it's no knock against them. I mean, they're just playing well. I mean, you can't take anything away from a hot team, and it's that old adage that what have you done for me lately, and what have you done once you get to the second season? Mm-hmm. That's what's preached a lot of the time, and you look for guys like that too. You know, you look for that. There's a certain type of grit. There's certain guys that just go out and play 162, and then they're done. And then there's guys, you know, these kids
dig deeper and
exactly.
And that's one thing I was gonna say, like with sports, you know, like you can't predict it. You can't predict heart. You can't predict, you know, chemistry and the momentum. You know, like once you get that like momentum going, it's so hard. I mean, we seen it with the Giants a few years ago when they backed into the playoffs and ended up beating the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I think is so cool about sports is like at any moment you could be dead ass wrong, and you're rooting for these underdog team.
Exactly, you know? And that's the adage in the profession I'm in too. I mean, you look at in scouting, one of the biggest things that they say is if you have a 40-year career and you have 8 guys that make it to the big leagues, you were wildly successful. Mm-hmm. So you fail. Baseball is a game where you keep track of failure, but momentum is the ultimate thing. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. The worst – it's hard to say this because it's going to come out real bad at first, but the worst player on the Yankees from a just pure technical standpoint is Brett Gardner. You watch that guy swing, and he shouldn't have made it out of A-ball. But I'll tell you something, that guy would run through the wall. You know what I mean? That's the type of guy he is. And you look at Cashman, who goes and makes good moves last year to bring in more help this year to put around a guy like Gardner, and to trade a Triple-A catcher for Aaron Hicks, who's now starting in center field for
great move.
In the ALCS for a team that's up 3-2 right now that just beat Dallas Keuchel last night. I mean.
I always say, like, I would take heart over talent. And I think, like, a lot
and
of
that's
times.
That's Gardner, for sure.
When people, like, evaluate these players, they look at just talent. And they don't always look at the heart. And I think sometimes, like, heart can overcome a lack of talent.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, you got to have some sort of talent.
Sure.
But I think with heart, you can make over it, you know, because you're trying a little harder. And then people around you, it's infectious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People start believing and start people, you know. They're not that shit team. And that's what I was saying about Cuse. It's like now I think they get that momentum going.
It's all about momentum.
Absolutely.
It's all about momentum. And even before the playoffs started, like every team in the American League was hot going in there.
Yeah.
Cleveland pulled off the historic run that they did. The Yankees were like 7-3 in their last 10 going in. Boston was 8-2 going in. Houston was red hot as well. Oh. Everybody going into that playoffs was steaming.
I said Zia, to exactly your point there, I said this year to people, you know, bullshitting down at the bar and stuff like that, talking about baseball, you know, people like to come in and go down that road with me, even though they think they know everything and they don't. But we won't say that too loud. But I'll tell you, in my lifetime, and what I can remember of baseball in the playoffs, top to bottom, these teams that were in the playoffs this year is the best group of teams that I've ever seen.
Right, this like is the top, creme I mean, of the creme right now.
I mean, I if you asked me, I would have refinanced my house, taken out a second mortgage, and put it all on Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I mean, that team was just that good.
That's who I picked in the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
If you go back to my previous podcast back in April before the season even started, I predicted a Cubs and Indians rematch in the World Series with the Indians winning it this time.
Yeah,
which exactly. I wouldn't have been. You know, and I said this today. I mean, you know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
True.
But even if Houston beats the Yankees and they come back and win these two more games, or I'm not going to be mad about it because Houston deserves that, and they have the best 1-2 punch in baseball with Correa and Altuve.
Oh man,
the best 1-2 punch
and most underrated,
because they get no love. I feel like Houston's what, number 4 market in the United States, right? It's a major freaking city, and you have every major city in the Final Four right now.
Yeah,
you do. You have all top four markets in there, and out of those top four markets right there, Houston's the one that's really not even heard of. Right or wrong?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean,
it's a very quiet team. Then they've been one of the best teams in baseball all year, but you didn't hear about them. Nobody knows who George Springer is or Altuve or, you know, even Evan Gattis.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I think, you know, to that same point, I think you go all the way back to the Killer Bees.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd say the Killer Bees to somebody, and they're like, duh, who?
Bagwell,
who?
And Biggio.
Yeah, Berkman.
I mean,
come on.
Berkman,
you know, those three. And they didn't get any love when they were playing either.
Right.
You know, it's those underrated cities that aren't viewed in the media spotlight. You know, when you've got 40 media guys at the end of the game sitting in New York waiting for Joe Girardi's head, which they should, for at some of the decisions that cat makes. But
he's a human being, damn it. Look how Joe Madden makes him too.
And he's one game waiting for the World Series.
You know why? Joe and game 2 against Cleveland, of course, that way he tried to outmanage himself, of course. But you know what? The players took his back.
They
took his back, and he admitted, he's like, sorry, I made some stupid mistakes. And they moved on from it. And look where they are now.
That's exactly it. That's what you have to do. You have to own up to it. You have to take – he took – I give him credit. He took responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
The guys said, Joe, it's not your fault. We should have scored more runs.
Right.
And that's what and you know,
scored 8 already.
and that's what you do. You know, for me, even during the regular season and watching some of the moves he makes and timing on certain decisions. I mean, he is where they're at for a reason.
Right.
You know, so I mean, you can't take anything away from the guy. You know, but some of them are mind blowing. But
I agree. But you know, the Yankee fans are so quick to decapitate Girardi.
Absolutely, you have to be
freaking so quick. It's Girardi's fault. It's Girardi's fault. The guy has the most wins in baseball since he's been the manager of the Yankees since 2008. Right?
Yeah.
Got there in 2008.
Yep.
He has the most wins in baseball since that period.
And those same people, if you do fire him and you hire somebody else and the team does worse,
oh man,
Girardi needs to come back.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And we were spoiled. I mean, as growing up as a Yankee fan. You know, and I'll eliminate that as one of the team I work for. I do not work for the Yankees.
You wish you did, though.
Yeah, you know, it would be a little kid dream, but you know, we were spoiled with Joe Torre. I mean, it's taking over for that. I mean, think about the guy who's going to have to take over for Belichick.
Right.
Fuck that.
Seriously.
Fuck that.
Good call. Yeah. No, you're right.
They should just fold the team when he's gone. You know what I mean?
I find that a lot in sports, though, too, is like everyone's instant gratification. Yeah. You know what I mean? They want to just bitch and complain.
What's the social media era that we live in?
True. True. Absolutely. I've seen it being a Bears fan when they let Lubby go after, you know, having 10 wins. Mm-hmm. Right now, they would jerk John Fox off for 10 wins.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's just like, then they're like, oh, we should never got rid of him. But you guys were like calling for his head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what else are you going to get out there that's going to be better than what you got now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And unless there's some stellar coach out there, you know, like that you're going to be able to get,
mm-hmm.
ride him out, dude. Like, you're way ahead of schedule.
And it's exactly too, you know, Mike, like we talked last week on the show too with Trubisky is that old word of growing pains and development. All right?
Right,
people get scared about that. You're absolutely right. People want that instant satisfaction, and that's the, you know, with what I do in baseball, that's what I believe in. I believe in you build from the ground up.
Yeah.
I believe it's tough with the right amount of your Brian Cashman moves last year. bringing in certain guys. Your moves that he made this year to bolster that bullpen with Robertson and the White Sox.
He replenished the whole farm club with four moves.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. You know, and to go out and do that. That's what you do. You use guys. You know, Blake Rutherford, who they traded for this year for the White Sox package for Frazier. I mean, Blake Rutherford was a top prospect.
And they got Tommy Kaye in that deal too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so you're bringing back three guys for a homegrown product. You give your team a player. Maybe he gets to the big leagues with you, but maybe he gives you the chance to get somebody else. You develop within, and it takes time. You know, and it's Houston. Houston was a 100 loss team within the last 5 years. I couldn't tell you when it was,
but it was 2014.
Exactly, they were a 100 loss team, and now you look at the Twins, 100 loss team last year. Mm-hmm. It's development. You bring those young core guys up. And you wait, and it comes. It comes over time. And to the Trubisky point, if he's not the guy, then you ultimately have to move on and make that decision again.
Or you develop another.
Yeah. Or you develop.
Nobody wants to develop these players anymore. They want to. Is he good? Does it stick against the wall? No. All right. Well, let's get rid of him. And I brought that up about Brock Osweiler. Nobody takes the time to develop these players. They want instant gratification, and then they're out the door if they don't do it. And it's like, then you find out years later that this guy ends up being a stud. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They hook on with another team that actually tends to develop them. And I think that's why you get teams like San Antonio Spurs and, you know, the Patriots and even the
it's all about good. It's about good management and good front office is what it's about. And those
let your players develop and turn into. Yeah,
I'm glad you brought up Minnesota the Twins. You got to give some love and respect to Molitor what he's done with
Paul
that
Molitor,
team.
Man.
He's gritty. The man.
He's
right?
gritty. He's gritty, man. I had a friend actually that I played travel ball with growing up, and he's right now he's in AAA with Minnesota. He plays in Rochester, and he went up for like 2 days this year. During a doubleheader, he got called up, and he called me. I remember talking to him after the first. You know, I talked to him after the first game and stuff like that. And he's like, "Dude, I got to the clubhouse the first." He's like, "I wanted to be the first one there. You know, get my locker, get situated." He said Molitor was already there in the gym working out. I mean, the guy just he lives, eat, and breathes it. He came out and talked to him. He's like, "I'm a rookie. Nobody talks to me." Mm-hmm. You know. Molitor came out and talked to him for almost half an hour.
Oh, cool.
And they just sat there and bullshit. But that's the type of guy you got to have. That's exactly. And you know, you know who Molitor reminds me a lot of, and it's high praise at this point. He reminds me of who I think is the best manager in baseball, and that's Tito Francona.
Yeah.
I mean, you ask me for a guy, it's Tito. I think in a few years, Molitor gets that team going, and I think he's you're going to see a very good NL or AL Central for a long time.
Yeah, good.
You know, I mean, it's going to be – it's. I don't know. You know, they're not going to be those Torrey Hunter teams, you know, back in the day, you know, Morneau and Joe Mauer. But, I mean, they're going to be more of a flair
team. Yeah, but they got guys like Sanu, and those guys are – they're ballers. And Byron Buxton, like, they're ballers. Buxton. And they got young talent. They're going to be around for a while.
And pitching. And you know what, too? At the end of the day – You can give me the best lineup or the best pitching staff. I'm taking the pitching staff 7 out of 7 days of the week. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's just pitching wins. You see it in the playoffs. And, you know, the point I was making to a lot of people I've talked to about this series with the Yankees and stuff is I said you have to get to Keuchel or Verlander one time.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. So if you go, you know, I mean, tomorrow's going to be interesting. And, I do think the Yankees win tomorrow.
Verlander resurgence in his career as soon as he got to Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, the Yankees have hit Verlander in the past.
Yeah.
It's not like Verlander has shut him down. He shut him down the other day.
Yeah.
You know, but they'll get to him. It's like
they know this guy. They know him, man.
Exactly. They've been seeing him for a while.
And there's the one valuable piece, and he had a few tough years when he first got to New York. There's no bigger video guy in baseball. Watches video, breaks everything down. And you heard, I won't give him an ounce of credit because I can't stand listening to this guy call a game, Joe Buck. But he brought it up last night.
I think everybody hates Joe.
Oh man, that guy's the worst.
I can't stand Keith Hernandez anymore either. Oh my god, he's the worst.
Oh yeah, that's a weird pairing, by the way, of four players that they've got on there. It's like Keith Hernandez and then the guys who just retired. You know, it's like Keith, what the fuck are you doing? Go fuck off somewhere.
Keith, what are you talking about half the time? Yeah, I don't even know what that. I think he's drunk back there. Anyways,
well, good on him, but. but yeah, I mean, you know, it's I forgot even what I was saying.
You know, I want to cut you off, though, and talk about tonight. Because the Cubs and the Dodgers, the Dodgers have been hot. But the Cubs actually pulled it out last night to make it 3-1. Personally, I'd like to see the game go 7, but I don't think it is.
No, I think it's done.
Don't you just want to be done and over with and moved on?
Well, Kershaw's in tonight. And Kershaw really hasn't been a great playoff pitcher, though.
No. I mean, he's been okay. And you know, obviously, the best playoff pitcher right now in baseball is Mad Bum. But I'll take Kershaw. I'll go to war with Kershaw. I'll go to war with Kershaw any day. But Z, you know, I'll give you this, and you know, as a Yankee fan, you do want this to end tonight because here's your stat of the day.
Or tomorrow.
Oh, you mean
no,
the
tonight?
Dodgers, the Dodgers
you want this series tonight, right?
Yeah.
Last 11 World Series, the team who won the pennant first, so the team who won the LCS first, the last 10 out of 11 years has lost the World Series.
Wow.
Yeah, there's your stat of the day.
That's a great stat. Wow. I like that.
It's like a Silbert stat.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. And you can fact check that one, too. All right.
Now, what do you attribute to that? Just for sitting around a little bit too long? Or?
I mean, it could be. Yeah. You know, I mean, that really could be. I mean, a lot of baseball players are creatures of habit. So you look at a guy like Kershaw. You know, we'll take Kershaw, for example. Okay, so he pitches every 5 days in the regular season, 5 to 6 days. It's very regimented what they do. So if you're sitting around in the off days, you know, you're sitting around the house for one day off because they usually try to let him get away for a good amount of time. I mean, that's what did we say earlier? Momentum. If you're coming off and you got to if you're whoever wins that series, the AL series, and you've got to fly to LA, you're getting out of the game. If you go 6 or 7, you get out of the game, you're flying right out to LA. And you're getting right off the plane, and you're going for it. It's repetition, creatures of habit. These guys are just such creatures.
Stay in business mode.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. So, I mean, that stat blew me away when I first saw it. I couldn't believe it. I actually fact-checked it because I didn't believe the guy at first. I mean, he's an MLB.com writer, too. But I looked it up, and sure enough, it's true. So,
wow.
If you're a Yankee fan,
you want the Dodgers
root for those
win.
Dodgers tonight, even though you don't want to see the Dodgers root for those Dodgers, because those Dodgers are good, man. And
Bellinger, one of the best baseball players going right now, hands
absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely,
his old man. And Justin Turner's killing it right now too.
Gosh.
Kid's high, he's clutch.
You remember Bellinger's old man?
Clay.
Bellinger. Remember Bellinger. Coming off the bench for the Yankees? Him and Luis Soho were like the Yankees bench back in those
utility
guys. Yeah, the microwave, Luis Soho. You know who they're doing this without though? The Dodgers. Corey Seager. He's not playing shortstop.
He is not playing.
He's out. Well, he's not even on the roster for
actually,
this series.
Puig's actually picked it up too.
Yeah. I mean, go figure.
Right.
Who knew that? Who knew where that guy's career was going to
And how about here? Andre Ethier? I can't believe the guy is still in baseball.
And making $18 million.
Is he really?
And making $18 million.
I can't believe he's still in baseball. He's got to be the oldest member of the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Was he like the Robert Horry of baseball?
Oh, no. You know who you forgot about, Z? Old man River, Chase Utley.
Chase Utley,
so
right.
We'll give him second oldest.
Yes,
we'll
all right, there you go. Oldest. Chase Utley's got to be, what, 38, 39? He's almost 40 now.
Yeah,
Chase
he's getting Utley. AARP in the mail, yeah.
Hey, easy, pal. Easy, pal. Matt, can you come back next week?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Unfortunately, I got to freaking take off.
Of course.
I got to work tonight. Can you maybe next Thursday we can chop it up a little bit? Because we need to even scratch the surface. I want to get back into like your history and how you got into everything.
Yeah, definitely, man. We can break that down. I don't know if you're doing something. Are you doing next Thursday as your next show or
No. I do it every Monday through Thursday.
Monday
through
Thursday. Well, let's figure out when the World Series starts.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do it before game one.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
It's
excellent.
Not Thursday.
No, it's going to be interesting to see in what happens today with Kershaw and Quintana. Jose Quintana is pitching. He's been kind of shaky. He's been up and down.
Yeah, he's been very up and down.
And they pulled him out of the bullpen at one time, and he was just giving up runs. And
creatures of heaven, man. That's the other night. Why would you go to Lackey?
Right.
I'll go to my 12th guy out of the pen that's pitched for me in the pen all year, like a Pedro Strop. I'll go to Pedro Strop before I go to John Lackey.
I
mean, John Lackey's John Lackey's John Lackey.
He's a starter though.
I mean, it takes you. You know, when I played for 2 years in college too. But I was a creature of habit when I started. I was weird, man. Starting pitchers, you get some weird shit that you do. I mean, I used to do just stuff that you'd be like, okay, that's a little bit fucking weird, but okay. I'd have to go out to the bullpen and throw 60 pitches before I could get on the mound and start the game. I mean, if you're John Lackey, you got to go out there and throw almost a simulated game before you can get in. I mean, and you look at it, you're coming in the 13th inning or the 12th inning or whatever it was when he gave it up. You know, you're coming out of the bullpen and you don't know when you're supposed to warm up. I mean, he probably had an inning notice. And you aren't getting those pitches in.
Right.
It's just his arm's not ready. His arm wasn't ready. And what did he do? He blew one at 90 miles an hour down the middle of the Turner, and he pissed on it.
Yes, so. He did. Crushed it. Clutch. Yeah. I mean, you got to give Turner credit, too, for knocking it out of there. But Caleb, thanks for coming.
Yeah,
we got to do this
you,
again
Z.
next week and get that all, especially just before the World Series.
Yeah,
and
let's do it.
And hopefully
definitely.
the Yankees are in the World Series. Again, like, even if they're not in the World Series, I'm not hating that Houston's there.
No.
Because I would actually like to see Houston win their very first World Series. But, of course, I want to see number 28 as well. So.
Number 28.
Hey, have a good weekend.
You're listening to EC Radio on the Disruption Network.
They brought their fucking toys with them. I'd rather have them playing with their toys than playing with themselves.
They're too dumb to play with themselves.
Disruption Networks.